All right, Joshua, thanks again for being here. And I'm going to let you share with listeners a little bit about your journey. Prior to hitting the record button here, Joshua and I were talking about how it's kind of been a decade process for him to kind of get really clear on where he was going, at least from an entrepreneurial aspect. And so I'm just going to let you dive into wherever you want to start.
Okay, so I was about to share the kind of some of the key parts of my transformational journey. Okay, so like you mentioned, it's been about a decade since I first
Yeah.
heard the call on my life to serve men. And it's only been within the last few months that I've fully leaned into that and stopped running away from it, because I ran away from it because I felt unqualified, because I felt like there's no way I could help other people to accomplish anything in being a better man, because I didn't have anything of note to any kind of achievement. I had been married about 10 years at that point, and felt like an utter failure as a husband. I felt like a failure as a father. I was not showing up on purpose. I was reactive to many things. I was selfish, but I wanted to do better, and that's about, that's kind of where I was. And I was on the lookout for mentorship, for anything I could do to just it was in that phase of I want to, but the actual wanting to was eluding me, right? And so, what I was going to say is that the steadfastness of my wife is really the primary driver. She recently referred to, highlighting the changes that she's seen in me over the last couple of years. She referred to our first probably 17 years of marriage as her first husband. She referred to me in that time period as her first husband,
Wow.
and that was a gut punch. Like, we had already discussed this. This wasn't new information, but the way she phrased it, I was like, oh. But fortunately, it was a good gut punch, because she was in the process of telling me how happy she was with her second husband, the me right now. And so, so that softened the blow a little bit, but it was, it threw my whole day for a loop. It was, just processing that thought of how much different the fact that I was so different, that I was really just a different person, that she can delineate one person versus me now as two completely different people. And one of the things that I've been processing over the last recent month is this pattern of grief and anger, of sad that I've missed out on so much time because of a lack of maturity in certain areas, and angry that the changes weren't, that I didn't know what I was doing, so to speak. And that's been this recurring pattern in a whole bunch of different things as I learn and grow. And I'm finding that on the other side of that is a better version of me. So that's a
it's a positive, but it's definitely something that needs to be processed. You know, there's when you're living immaturely or ignorantly, and you realize that that moment of realization where you learn what is better, and you decide to remedy the ignorance, and whether you're purposefully remedying their ignorance or you just all of a sudden become aware of the difference, it's a process of you have, it's okay and right to grieve the time, you know, the opportunity loss that there was, if you would have learned something sooner.
That's interesting. I just read a study in this last week that said that the reason that we are hard on ourselves, like, I think there's a difference between grieving and then beating ourselves up and giving ourselves guilt and telling ourselves mm-hmm. we failed and how could we look at all the opportunity we lost. Like, there's a difference between like seeing it and accepting it or beating ourselves up. And our tendency, especially for people that are high achievers, is to be an asshole to ourselves. Like, I don't know how else to say it, but
yeah.
To really like just put salt in that wound and just keep rubbing it in. You know why? Like, studies have shown that we do that because at our core, we really believe that if we are hard on ourselves, that we'll get better faster. But the truth is that it's compassion and grace and self-kindness that helps us get better faster. It's like that old adage, you know, don't say something to yourself that you wouldn't say to the person in your life that you love the most. But yet, inside our heads, you know, it's interesting that sometimes we'll just sit in a place and beat ourselves up. Like, first of all, you like me looking back, I wasn't the person that could even have seen those opportunities because I wasn't operating at that level of awareness. I was doing the best I can at the level of awareness that I had. Yes, gosh, I'm pushing 45 and there's a whole lot of things I wish I could accomplish that I wasn't even aware that I could accomplish a decade ago, but I can't sit in that space. I can't stay it. I mean, I can, and then I can be the victim, and then I don't get anywhere, you know. Right. Or I can like give myself grace and celebrate the fact that I'm awake now at a new level, and then move forward. And I didn't mean to hijack your story, but
it's a great addition to the perspective. It's the being able to contrast the beating yourself up versus experiencing, processing the grief is
mm-hmm.
is when you process grief, you're allowing it to happen. You're acknowledging what's lost, but you're not wallowing in it. You're not staying there. It's a throughput. When you're beating yourself up, you're necessarily contradicting the desire. If people are doing that because they want to get better faster, you're not getting better because you're focusing on that past thing and you're living in it.
Right.
And you're staying there. And it's important to it's important to move on. What you know, that's where the personal reflection comes in, is, you know, what worked and what didn't and why, and what can I do differently in the future to make to get better results. And the more you can ask yourself those questions, you know, the more frequently and the more topics on which you can apply those questions, the better. That's where you'll get better faster.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you what kinds of questions you ask yourself, but I'm sure you're probably going to get to that. So go ahead.
Yeah. So
So the when you're to go back to you when you were asking me the like I'm systematic and I and like the difficulty is in trying to go, okay, you know, here's steps 1 through 7 of how to accomplish all the things that I have accomplished in my personal growth journey. It's not that simple. It's more like a Rubik's cube than a Candyland board where it's not just a start to finish and you go through the lines and maybe there's a couple of shortcuts. It's like there's a messiness to it like a Rubik's cube while there is a systematic approach to solving a Rubik's cube, you know, there are algorithms that are in place and people can observe the state of a Rubik's cube and then be blindfolded and then solve it because they know those algorithms. Right. But it's like, you have to twist and turn things and sometimes they have to go backwards in order to go forwards. And sometimes they, you know, you have to mess up one of the sides that seem to be close to finish in order to move things around properly. And so it's been really difficult for me to kind of unload all of the steps and lessons and things that I learned and applied over the course of the last few years. But there are some constructs, you know, so essentially the algorithms that you would use to solve the Rubik's Cube, I have a handful of those algorithms that I've been able to distill into something useful. And it's really going to require somebody who is ready to do the work to understand those algorithms and know which ones to apply at what time in order to solve their Rubik's cube, because there's some billion different variations of a Rubik's cube. Right. Mm-hmm. Which means there's no one way to solve it. There's a bunch of different ways to solve it, but there is a system to identify so that you can identify what way you need to solve this particular Rubik's cube. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. How, okay. So if someone is like, oh my goodness, I'm ready. I'm ready for change. I want to move forward. I'm ready to do the work. What's one thing they could do to start?
The primary thing is personal reflection. That is absolutely step one. We are the common denominator in every situation that we're in. It doesn't matter what situation it is. You know, you're the only common denominator in every situation that you experience, and I'm the only common denominator in every situation I experience. And so that means that I need to be able to focus on me. So when I list that my absolute priority structure as far as the sequence of how I need to address things in my life is me, my personal growth, then my marriage, then my parenting and my family unit, and then my life work and how I show up in the world, you know, professionally and with other relationships. And that's the way it needs to be built with me as the foundation, and then my marriage, and then my family, and then out in the world. Because if any one of those pieces, you know, if I'm trying to show up in the world as an entrepreneur, make an impact and all that stuff, but any one of those pieces, me personally, my marriage or my family are suffering or in ruin or broken, then that is going to compromise my ability to show up at whatever level is above that.
Right.
And that's something that I lived in that trying to find my purpose, my calling. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to show up in the world? What's my calling? And I'm pursuing these things because I have this messed up picture of how to get the life that I want. Okay? I really want, there were hundreds of times, it had to be at least hundreds of times that I said, man, if we never had to worry about money, like I didn't have to work, I wouldn't want to work. I would want to just spend all my time with my family. And I want to, be a good husband, be a good dad, and just, invest in my family like that. But unfortunately, money is a thing, and we have to be, I have to provide. So I'm going to go and focus like 150% of my attention on trying to provide and reach a level of provision that affords me the time and freedom to spend all that time with my family. So it was one of those when then kind of moments. When I mm-hmm. reach a certain level of income, then I can spend time with my family. Then I can focus on my
mm-hmm.
family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I spent a very sizable chunk of my kids' childhood doing that. My oldest daughter is 19, and she's within probably 60 days of moving out of my house for the last time, and getting her own apartment, and that's that's a huge milestone, that's one of those grief and anger processing moments is how many of these years did I miss out on because I wasn't being present as a father intentionally because I was allowing myself to be distracted by this seemingly epically important need to provide a good life for my family. And all that did was make me absent, and I wasn't very successful in the provision department, so they went without a lot of things, and they went without me. So, mission failed, for a lot of years in that. And so coming to that realization, wrecked me more than once, right? And
mm-hmm.
it's still difficult to process and talk about. But at the same time, because I allowed myself to get angry with myself, to an extent, and then grieve the opportunity loss, I'm not stuck there. So I'm not going to keep on doing the same stupid thing because I'm wallowing in, in that self-pity or that self-condemnation.
Right. Sure.
I get to move on and I get to be better. And so the internal work that I've been doing to be better me is ultimately overflowing into me being better husband. And ultimately that's overflowing into me being a better parent, because as I'm improving my relationship with my wife, we're more and more on the same page. I'm less and less self-centered like I used to be. Our communication has improved, which means our ability to plan and set goals and strategize about how we want to show up as parents together, because we are, we're a unit. And so often she has expressed her feelings of being a single parent, even though I've been around all this time, it's because I wasn't present and
mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing my internal work. And so all of the things that I wanted to achieve in my marriage came as a result of the development I did in myself, and all of the things, I say all of the things, but there's still more growth. There's still more opportunity,
mm-hmm.
more things that I want to accomplish. But the dynamic of the respect and appreciation and love that I'm receiving from my wife because of how I'm showing up that's the dynamic that I've longed for. And I have finally done the work to quote unquote earn it. And And then I'm seeing my relationship with my kids improve because of the level of intention I am and I have in my personal development. I'm showing up more intentionally as a father also. And so all these things that I want to do, now I actually want to do, and I'm actually doing them. And
mm-hmm.
and I've been able to create these kind of systemic behavioral changes in me and start washing out the selfishness. And it's been because I started reflecting. I started the process of saying, you know, what do I really want in any given day? And then going, okay, later, you know, at the end of the day, or maybe at the beginning of the next day, did I get what I was aiming for yesterday, or at the end of the day, you know, did I get what I was aiming for today? If not, what prevented me from getting it? What can I do better? What didn't work? What did work? How do I want to show up tomorrow so that I can do that better? And at first it was vague and generic, but as the discipline progressed and the habit continued, the level of specificity started to increase.
Mm-hmm.
It started, you know, it went from, ew, I feel like today sucked. How do I make it so that tomorrow I don't feel like it sucks? You know, that's, you know, really, really generalized based on feelings, but it has grown to the point where, you know, now I'm evaluating, you know, what kind of results did I get today from, you know, physically, my exercise, my nutrition, my sleep, what kind of results do I want, or did I get in intellectually, my learning? Did I learn things like I wanted to learn things? Did I learn the things I wanted to learn? How about emotionally? Was I emotionally available? Was I present? Was I empathetic? Was, you know, and then relationally, did I show up in the relationships that are important to me? So with my wife, with each of my six children, you know, there's a lot of relationships to keep track of in my house. And, and what, you know, so at first it was just, did I show up as a dad in a good way? And I could highlight things where I did show up as a good, you know, in a good way as a dad, but maybe that was with only two of my six kids and the other four didn't even see me that day or maybe had a negative interaction with me or things like that. And so I had to start getting more specific. So, you know, how am I showing up with Rebecca? How am I showing up with Ethan? How am I showing up with Megan, with Jordan, with Emma, with Jackson, like, and paying attention to all of these, to the very specific things. And then spiritually, how's my, you know, how am I spiritually? Did I spend time, you know, spend quiet time? Did I read my Bible like I want to do? And it gets more and more specific. And then it gets more tactical. Like, then I start focusing on, like, okay, I'm understanding my personality style and how I should, you know, the defaults of how I show up, and understanding the personality style of each of my family members and how they naturally show up, and what are some tactics that I can use to make sure that I communicate more effectively from my style into their style. And then, you know, then I incorporate love languages. Okay, what are the love languages of myself and my spouse and my kids, so that mm-hmm. when I want to express love, I love you and I want you to know that I love you. The way that you're going to know that I love you is when I speak your love language.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all these tactical things also, and those are really important, but you can't necessarily just jump into them. However, like the Rubik's Cube dynamic, where it's not this linear thing, I just kind of described somewhat something that was somewhat linear, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was these progressive steps. But the reality is that I had to start becoming aware of some of these more tactical things first,
because I simply had to acknowledge that, oh, there is a difference. You know, there's a fundamental wiring difference between people, and maybe I'm not at a level of maturity where I can leverage and apply the specific tactics of DISC, which is the personality style that I use, of DISC or of the love languages, but I can acknowledge that those differences exist and just kind of pay attention to them and focus on me. So it took me time to develop a practical awareness of how I'm wired, because I'm the only one that I can control, right? So I have to know myself well and understand that when how I show up and how I react to things and how I experience love and how generally speaking, people express, when you're doing it unintentionally, subconsciously, you're expressing love in the language that you hear it, which is not necessarily the language that other people need to hear it. And so when I'm not feeling the love, so to speak, from people, it's not because they're not showing love. It's just they're not showing my language. And so then all of a sudden, in order to improve myself and understand, okay, how do I give people the benefit of the doubt? I need to start understanding them better.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I could start understanding them better, then I can understand where they're coming from, which gives them the benefit of the doubt. And I can mature how I respond and how I interact. And so it's like this, like, really cyclical kind of dynamic where you just kind of add a new layer each time around, and, you know, one new little piece each time you go around. And it's not this just like, it's not a light switch by any means. It is definitely a series of dimmer switches.
I would ask, that's what a great analogy. I would absolutely agree with that. Do you think that, so you described like an overall process of personal reflection. So would you say that as you devoted time to reflecting, you had to know your priorities first, obviously, and then reflecting upon how those priorities lived out, what you wanted that to look like each and every day, is that how you came to the conclusion, or maybe that's not the right word, is that how you came to the greater awareness that you could interact with people differently, or that people had different needs, or like, because you went from a high level, hey, I know my priorities and I reflect, down to like a really detailed example with DISC and with the love languages of what that looked like for you in a daily practice. Like, did that come from your reflection, or did that come from, how did you get to that point?
It does. It really does come from the reflection side of things, because as you reflect, I mean, to really oversimplify it, you're looking at results. Okay, did I get the results that I wanted? And as you evaluate that and begin to decide, yes or no, these results are or are not what I wanted, you actually end up having to kind of chop up the results, because originally you're vague. It's like, did I have a good day or did I have a bad day, right? And saying I had a good day isn't very helpful if it wasn't a perfect day. Right. If you didn't get everything that you wanted out of the day, but it was a generally good day, it's not very helpful to say, I had a good day. So if tomorrow's the same, I'll be okay. Like, it, you have to start going, okay, what about today was good? What about this stuff was good? And as you do that, then you start to become aware of the pieces and parts that you care about keeping track of. And when you start being able to chop those up and identify them, then now all of a sudden, instead of just one big thing, you have a bunch of
smaller things. And when you have a bunch of smaller things, you can't do a bunch of smaller things all at the same time. So you necessarily have to put them in some kind of sequence. They have to have some kind of priority structure. And so then it's just a matter of trial and error of, you know, what are the things that are the most important? And oftentimes, when you're kind of operating impulsively or intuitively, the answer is completely dependent upon the timing in which you ask it. So if I'm sitting at my desk working, you know, what's the most important thing to me right now? Well, it's probably work, because that's what I'm doing. But that doesn't mean that I'm fundamentally prioritizing work over my family or myself or anything like that. It's just in the moment. But it's really hard to keep track of the revolving versus absolute priorities. And so one of the things that I struggled with for a long time was I figured out those absolute priorities. Yes, it is absolutely important for me to put, you know, at that point it was like family first and then work. You know, I wasn't aware enough to go, yeah, I need to be able to take care of myself, and then it has to be my marriage, and then it has to be my parenting and my family unit, kind of like that kind of structure.
Mm-hmm.
It was just family is more important than my job. And so, you know, I made a whole bunch of stupid choices because I decided that was my priority structure. And if ever my job got in the way of my family, then I would choose poorly about how to navigate my job situations, which is why I've had dozens and dozens of jobs in my life, because I didn't keep them very long. Because if my wife was like, you know, and she was young and immature, and so if she was like, I need you, I'd be like, okay, I'm leaving, and off I would go from work, and then I'd lose my job because I wasn't very reliable. And so that was the immature view of a priority structure, is I let the absolute priority structure dictate everything, when in reality the absolute priority structure only needs to kick in extreme circumstances. So the revolving priority structure is where we live most of the time. At any given moment, you know, I have to choose to prioritize one thing over the other things, as long as the other things are doing okay, you know. So as long as my family is good and my marriage is good and relationships are healthy and things are going well, I can choose to say, hey, right now my priority is work. I'm prioritizing my conversation with you right now. I'm not putting it, making it more important than my family, but I'm choosing to prioritize my time into it. But if the fire starts in my kitchen right now, I'm hanging up the phone and I'm going to take care of that, because that's when absolute priorities kick in.
So I want to say something about this too, because it can be easy, I think, to connect the dots going backwards. Like, you know, I resonate on many levels with things that you're saying about misprioritizing, but truly, we do the best we can at the level of awareness that we have. Like, I used to work a bajillion hours a week, and there were all kinds of reasons that I did that. And at the time, I thought they were all the very best and the right reasons. Like, I could win at work. I didn't feel like I could win at home. I was providing for my family in the very best way by showing them what a working mother who kicks butt looks like. Yes, I've worked long hours, but look, they got all the stuff and things from it, stuff and things that I thought that when we got all of that on my list, that then we'd be happy. Like, I was just operating at that level of awareness. And so I would imagine that you did the same thing. Like, you weren't like waking up in the morning saying, oh, I wonder how many jobs I can hop to this year. No, you
right.
were operating at the level of awareness that you were at, right? And
yeah.
and so
and eventually it got to the point where I was able to have this train of thought where me working was prioritizing my family, because it didn't take too long for me to go, you know what, this really isn't good for my family for me to keep losing jobs. So
right.
eventually it got to the point where I need to focus on working so that I could provide for my family well, because as great as it is for me to be able to jump to their need every minute of every day, it, you know, it's harder in the long run to not have the money. So then it became prioritizing work, and I turned into the workaholic kind of person instead of the leave my job whenever my wife called kind of person.
Right.
And
right.
it was just the next evolution of,
right.
of that awareness dynamic.
I get it. And but each level offers all kinds of learning, though. Like, you just don't know what you don't know. I mean, obviously, if you knew better, and you were at a place and you were ready, you would do better. You know, oftentimes we don't know, or we think, because we're stuck in our current paradigm, we believe that that's like we have limited options, when really, if we could just elevate our thinking a little bit, change how we're looking at it, then we would see different opportunities or different ways to have better balance, or to know our priorities better, or to lean into who we are in a different way or a better way. Mm-hmm. But it's all part of the journey. You know, it's absolutely part of the journey. So Joshua, how can people get in touch with you and maybe share what you have going on these days?
So what I'm doing these days is I'm answering that call. I'm serving men, and specifically focusing on those men who are in similar situation that I was in the past 10 years. And so I, you know, I'm focusing on married men with families and who want to learn how to be better men, better husbands, better fathers, better spiritual leaders of their home, and also understand that they were created to have some life work that they can really pursue a significant impact in the world and leave a legacy. So that, you know, it's a journey that I want to join on, and so the probably the best way to track all that down is to just go to my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, or I have a kind of a fan page that's they're both my name. But I think the location, like the URL type location, is different. I'm gonna pull it up so I can give it to you.
Okay.
But I'll, at the very least, I can shoot you the links to it so you can have links in your show notes.
Absolutely. Yes.
I just haven't been very good at choosing easy URL type of things that make my life easier to say, oh, just go blah, blah, blah here. It's super easy.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Family Man Entrepreneur Coach. That's my
okay.
handle.
Okay. All right.
That'd probably be the best place to go. I'll be updating the links regularly to be whatever the most current thing to focus on is.
Okay.
And that's where people can go and get access to the things I'm offering. Right now I have available a free training. It's about 30-minute video training on on the principle of progress. It's a progress tool that is about very much about what we're talking about. It's what you monitor, you do, what you measure, you improve, what you celebrate, you become. But you can't celebrate what you haven't measured, and you can't measure what you haven't monitored. So be careful what you monitor, because that's what you become. So that's the quick phrasing of the principle, but really it's about, you know, what are you paying attention to? And so that personal reflection is the first step to discovering what it is you want to monitor, and then what it is you want to measure, and what it is you want to celebrate. Otherwise, all you're doing is essentially monitoring your emotional responses to any given moment or days or weeks. And it's like, how often do we have those times where, you know, oh man, I had such a bad day. What was bad about your day? Well, it was really just this one thing, this one little moment. And you attribute an entire bad day to because of one simple moment. And then how many times do you have oh, really, I had such a bad week, but really it was just a series of bad days, which were actually just one moment in a series of days. And the emphasis of that negative emotional response and holding on to the negative emotional response for a long duration, because it's the familiar thing, as you know, it just negatively impacts a longer and longer period of time, even though the thing that caused the emotional state is really just it was 5 minutes.
Right. Boy, that's a whole other podcast. Oh my goodness, right? That's a whole other podcast. So we could totally talk about that whole emotional, like our emotional addictions, our normal mode of operation with our emotions, like what our programming takes us to. And for a lot of us, it's heavy and yucky, and that's a very professional term, yucky.
Yeah.
Those emotions that take us to places that are, well, they're the opposite of growth. They just keep us stuck. But if we aren't aware of it, and then we can't change it.
Yeah, it's fundamentally a chemical addiction, because
absolutely
you have you're physiologically, you release certain neurochemicals that elicit a physiological response. And those chemicals are released because of your emotional state.
Yes.
And if you get used to a particular set of chemicals being released because of a particular emotional state, then you're always going to be looking for ways subconsciously to recreate that emotional state.
Right.
And more often than not, it's a negative one.
Yes. Right. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. Yeah. Okay. That's a whole other podcast, but okay. So Family Man Entrepreneur Coach, I'll put the link in the show notes. I'll also put the link to your Facebook page, and I love the whole principle of progress. So if you're not a man, can you like get that free download too? Get that free training, or is it only for men?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to watch it.
Let me set up a different link for you that I'll send you, and you can share, and then we can point people that are that would be in my audience to one spot, and people that would be in not my audience to another spot, so I can, you know, keep the email list as clear.
Right. Oh, I don't want to mess that up for you. Yeah. Well, maybe I overcomplicated it. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I can easily set up a different URL for the lovely ladies in your audience, and then the men that they love can be pointed to the
absolutely
link to my Facebook page.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And by
okay.
all means, if you are a wife, then just encourage your husband to come find me and check this out. I've been collecting positive messages that I've been getting via text message from my wife and my kids over the past few weeks, as these really good, you know, they're affirmations to me of me going, you know, celebrating, right? That's that monitor, measure, celebrate. It's mm-hmm. moments for me to celebrate that, hey, I'm actually showing up the way I want to, and the results are such that my family is noticing and they're positively impacted by it. And, you know, if you're a guy that's listening to this, maybe the wives suggest they listen to this episode, or something like that. But if you're a guy listening to this and, you know, and you want to be able to get these unsolicited positive messages from your wife or from your kids that say, you know, hey, I really appreciate what you've been doing, and you just want that. That's a byproduct of what I'm offering. It's like you get there's confidence in being who you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the confidence that comes with that just makes doing life so much easier. And one of the biggest things for me that has been the biggest positive impact is when I know to kind of do the biblical reference, when I know my house is in order, you know, my relationship with my wife is solid, my relationship with my kids are solid, and all of that stuff is there, then when I go to show up in my life work, which is this, there I do so with such a higher degree of confidence and clarity and a larger percentage of myself mm-hmm. shows up. Because
sure.
I'm not leaving anything behind to
right.
to try to hold back some energy because I got to reserve some to deal with stuff when I you know get back into the house, right, or so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
those are some of the things that that resonate with me currently that I believe would have resonated with me years ago when they were lacking, as, oh yes, I would really love that.
mm-hmm.
is just a solid, you know, when you're getting the appreciation and respect from your wife, and when your kids can actually look up to you, and you feel confident that you are a model of who you want your sons to become and who you want your daughters to marry, then
mm-hmm.
there's such a peaceful confidence that comes from that.
Well, and I don't you think that you're not forcing things? It's like, you know, a round peg in a square hole or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not forcing. Like, I know when I was really out of alignment with who I was made to be, things felt forced. I felt pressurized all the
yeah.
time. And the more I am me, the more ease I have in my life. And the more things I see that are in alignment with me all around me. And it's incredible. But I think, you know, we're taught to hustle and we're taught to force and we're taught to get all the things. And like you said in the very beginning of all this, we get it backwards. We think we have all the things and then we become who we are. We need to become who we're made to be. And then all the other things, all the stuff falls into place.
Right.
Yeah.
Be who you are, do what you do because of who you are. And then you have the things that you have because of what you do, because of who you are.
Right. Absolutely.
It's who you do have.
Yes. Right. Right. Absolutely. Love it. All right. Well, as always, I have a few teaching points to wrap up things with. So I pulled out four different points from things that you said. Listeners, if you haven't been taking notes, this might be a good time to do that. And I'll also put these four points in the show description, so you'll have that as well. Number one, you don't need to be perfect to get started. There's a quote I've heard, and I'm not sure who says it, but you don't have to be good to start, but you have to start to be good. So you don't have to be perfect to be used or to start on your journey. So start where you're at. Number two, show yourself kindness, compassion, and patience as you learn and grow. Number three, know your priorities. And number four, integrate personal reflection into your day. A couple of questions you can ask: what do I want? And did I get what I was aiming for? But you can't really do any of those things unless you know what you're after, know what your priorities are. That's kind of your homing device, your GPS, that dictates everything else about what you're doing. So thank you, Joshua, for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure. And I really love your teaching points. That's one of the things that I really enjoy every time I listen to one of your episodes is the teaching recap at the end. That's one of my favorite pieces.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I like pulling things together. Well, thank you for that too. I appreciate it. All right. Well, thanks everyone for spending your time with us today. As always, I know that you have a ton of choices. And a ton of things that are probably on your priority list, and making this a priority is important. So until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.